Father, as we have that picture of your cross in our minds, would you speak to us now through your word? Bless us and challenge us, encourage us and comfort us, that we might leave here equipped to serve you and the world in which we live. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please sit.
Our first reading is from Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. It's on page 1173 of the Church Bibles. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and it is on page 1042 of the Church Bibles. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray as we sit. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak afresh into every heart this morning, that each of us would experience something more of what life with you is really about. Amen.
Judith, can you bring the next slide up for me, please?
I love these three with all my heart. Mostly they love me back, except when I'm a bit cross, but mostly they do. The older two know who loves them. The little one is learning. Mostly she loves her mum for obvious reasons. Now, although they know I love them, I just love them. Do you want me to use this one or this one? Just turn this one off, then we'll be okay. They know I love them. But somehow, it's turned into a competition. Who's got the highest reading book at school? Who's got the best part in the school play? Who cooks the best cake or decorates it for Grandma? In some subconscious way, they are equating my love for them with things that they can do for me. Somehow, acceptance and love has altered from just being about my loving them absolutely unconditionally for the gift that they are to me, to them wanting to gain my acceptance. Do you want to move to the next slide, Judith? Indulge me for just a moment. This is Burswood Christian Hospital, where I have spent several weeks since last November. For those of you who don't know, I have ME, and I spent some weeks in there on their ME programme. Now, Burswood does whole person care. It's a Christian hospital. It looks after body, mind, spirit. It's amazing. It's wonderful. A wonderful gift the Church of England gave to me to go there. It has nurses, doctors, chaplains, counsellors, physiotherapists, you name it, they've got it. And as I entered fully into the care package there, I began to learn some new things about me, particularly about my faith and how I live that out. Some of you may already know the things I want to speak about today, but I wonder if others of you might have forgotten about them, not thought about them for many years. Others of you might be like me. You know them up here with your head, your intellect, but maybe they haven't yet made complete sense. So I offer you something now of my journey over the past few months, having really been prompted by the Holy Spirit to share this with you. You have the next slide, Judith. Thanks. I teach this programme at college about pastoral care, and I talk to the students about Dr. Frank Lake, a psychiatrist who looked at how ministers, particularly those missionaries abroad, got worn out, burnt out. And he started to think there must be something about the way that they're living their lives that's not quite right. So he went back to the Bible, and using John's Gospel, he looked at the life of Christ. He looked at how Christ lived out his life as a person on earth. And then Lake used this tool to talk to ministers for themselves and to use with other people. Now, I do not think this tool is just for ministers. I think it's for all of us, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. He called the way Jesus lived his life, the dynamic cycle of life. And sometimes this now is now referred to as the cycle of grace. Jesus knew who had accepted him. He knew who loved him right from the beginning. Not only did he have those earthly parents who accepted him despite those circumstances and loved him unconditionally, but he knew he was unconditionally loved by God. We hear in Luke, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And that word, the beloved, the loved one, comes from that word agape. It doesn't mean that soppy, sentimental, romantic stuff. It means the really deep, overwhelming, unconditional love that God had for Jesus. So first of all, he was accepted. And then he got his sustenance from his relationship with the one who accepted him. He got his sustenance from God. He knew the scriptures. He learned more about the scriptures. He prayed. He prayed with people. He prayed by himself. He's fully sustained in his body, mind, and spirit by that intimate relationship that he has with the Father.
by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember, he waited until the Spirit came upon him at his baptism before beginning that ministry that God had called him to, the thing that God had preordained for him to do. He didn't always respond to what the crowd wanted by staying and doing what they wanted. Sometimes he went away to a quiet place by himself. In fact, quite a lot he did that. So that relationship with God was his primary source of sustenance, the thing that kept him going. And then out of those things come his significance, his purpose, his calling. John 13, verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Jesus knew what he was for, what his purpose was. So out of being completely loved by the Father, sustained in every way, body, mind, and soul, he knows who he is. He knows what he needs to do, what his purpose is in life. And then John 17, verse 4 says, I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So out of that unconditional love relationship, being sustained in every way, understanding his purpose in life, he completes what God the Father has preordained for him, finishing the work that he was given to do, glorifying God on earth. That's the next slide. Sadly, thinking back to the picture I showed you of my girls, somehow, sometimes, we go backwards. We begin to do stuff. This gives us a sense of our purpose or our significance. That sustains us. The things that we're doing, we're getting something out of that that's keeping us going. And finally, that gives us some kind of acceptance. So we do stuff to get people to like us, to love us, to accept us. Maybe I'm the only one that does it this way. The deep roots of living our cycle backwards come from the very earliest days. I showed you that with those little girls. Our world is obsessed by us doing stuff. We learn it at primary school. We learn it before primary school. You know, topical at the moment, stats. I don't want to go there. But they encourage children to be in competition with one another, that they get some kind of worth or value out of getting good exam results, no matter whether we say it's the school and not the children. The children think a different thing. We pick up things from our parents, from our environments. We pick them up subconsciously. We pick up things that drive our life. Sometimes we can call these things life scripts. I wonder if you want to guess what mine are. No, best not. Mine are work harder, please everyone. I wonder what yours are. Instead of working out the acceptance that's mine as a child of God who loves me absolutely, unconditionally, my life script tells me I can't be unconditionally loved unless I've done something to deserve it. Is it true? No. Is it easy to change that script, to rewrite it? No. But it's vitally important that I do it, and all of us do it, if we're fully to live out the life that God intends for us. Now, I don't want this to be all about me. I'm just using me as an example of how we can go backwards around this cycle. How hard it is for us to change direction. Sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. I was teaching this, for goodness sake, to the students and not realising it myself. It sometimes takes a crisis of ME that stops you in your tracks and makes you really think about it. So the cycle of grace planned by God the Father, demonstrated through Christ the Son, facilitated by our helper, the Holy Spirit,
is turned backwards by the world and becomes the cycle of works, not of grace. Take a moment to think about the words on this slide. Interesting, we're called human beings, not human doings. I've been reading Nicky Gumbel's B-I-O-Y, Bible in 1 year, and he says we're called primary believers, not achievers. Wayne Dyer's quote takes a bit of working out. You aren't what you do, because otherwise, when you're not doing it, you don't exist. Why is it then that we equate more with achieving, with doing? How can we live out that cycle of grace that Jesus demonstrated to us instead of the cycle of works taught by the world? Let's just think about each step of that dynamic cycle. We'll go to the next slide, thanks. God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us. Do you really believe that? Deep inside of you, do you really believe that? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He doesn't love us based on performance, based on anything we do, based on being perfect, working harder and harder. But he loves you because of who you are. His created human being, created to be in loving, intimate relationship with him. We are saved by God's amazing grace through Christ's death and resurrection and our faith in him. God's love is unconditional. We don't have to earn it. It's a free gift. If that's all you go away with thinking about today, that would be great. Human love's always conditional, even though I told you I love those girls unconditionally. I am a human being. I'm flawed. Our society is flawed. We don't mean our love to be conditional. We can't help it. Even tiny children pick that up. I've been meditating on these words. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith, not by works. I wonder sometimes, especially in the Anglican side of the church, whether we focus a lot on works. For some of you here today, you might like me to have been focusing on just that, those two verses. I've focused on them since November. They're seeping into me, and it's helping me to get to grips with the cycle the right way. So acceptance is from God. Have the next slide, please. Material things do not ultimately satisfy us. Money, stuff, even human relationships, they fade away. Only Jesus, the bread of life, sustaining us, satisfies spiritual hunger and fully satisfies, actually, all our human need. Christ is himself our spiritual food, the bread of life, the living water, the true manna from heaven. And how are we accessing this? By investing our time in our spiritual refreshment, in prayer by ourselves or with other people, in worship, in silence, in studying God's word, in receiving Holy Communion. All these things feed us, sustain us. They build us up in that intimate relationship with the one who creates us and loves us. Maybe we know how much we need daily help to walk in him. Maybe we know how difficult that sometimes is, when lives are busy or things go wrong. How do you feel this morning? Sufficiently spiritually sustained? Or have your spiritual batteries run dry or been depleted? If Jesus needed to recharge his batteries so much, how much more do we? Next slide, Judith. Who am I? Why am I here? Am I Anne, mother? Yes. Am I Anne, chaplain? Yes. Am I Anne, wife? Yes. I've lots of different roles. These are roles. Fundamentally, they are not who I am. For we are what he has made us. That's our significance. That's the purpose of who I am and why I'm here. That's my whole purpose is as a child of God, not in all those things that I do, because when they're not there, if they're the things that I am, when they're not there, I'm not. Jesus came to show the way to the Father, to glorify the Father, and that was his significance. To glorify the Father by reconciling the world to him through his death on the cross. However, when he was on earth, the main point of his significance was to signpost other people in the right way. In Isaiah, it says, God created us for his glory. We are created for God's glory. In other words, to praise and glorify God, just as Jesus did in the power of the Spirit, and to signpost others to that which satisfies the human need eternally. As we enter more fully into being accepted unconditionally by the God who created us for his glory, as we lean more and more into knowing more about our Creator and allowing him to sustain us in every aspect of our lives, we begin to appreciate our significance is rooted in his purposes for us and not in those made by the world. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Living out of the grace of God poured out for us, sustaining us, our lives take on new meaning, and then we go on to achieve those things which God has planned for us to do. If we work out of the cycle of works, if that's how we're living our lives, how do we know what God wants us to do? We're doing it ourselves. God's not showing us what to do. I really think this shows us really well in the reading we had from Luke. Martha's rushing around, distracted by her many tasks, things of the world, whilst Mary sits at the Lord's feet, listening to what he is saying. Jesus' retort to Martha has often struck me as harsh, but that's partly because I am a Martha. The things of the world that seem vital and important to us now are just temporary. They will end. Heavenly things, on the other hand, will remain. They are the better because they are eternal. Who do you relate best to, Mary or Martha? This isn't an excuse to do nothing. Rather, the aim is to check out our motives for the thing we are doing. Is it fueled by God or by our own selfish ambition? The cycle of works is about achieving worldly status. Money, prestigious roles, material goods, things that do not last. Things that have no real value, that do not ultimately meet our basic human needs. The cycle of grace is about a relationship with the living God, the one who loves us each and every one unconditionally, the one who fully sustains us in this life and in the one to come, the one who gives us each our individual identity and who enables us to succeed in living God-focused lives so that we do the work that he has prepared for us. I leave you this morning with just one question. Are you living your life through the cycle of grace or the cycle of works?
Let's pray. Loving Father, enfold each one of us now in your love. Loving Son, bread of life, sustain us. Holy Spirit, guide us always in the way of grace, that we might live out your purposes for us. Amen.
Now, Jackie's going to lead us in our prayers.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray. Strengthen Justin and John, our archbishops, Stephen and David, our bishops, and all your church in the service of Christ, that those who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Bless and guide Elizabeth, our Queen. Give wisdom to all in authority, and direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace. At this time, we remember particularly the countries of Africa, Syria, Turkey, Afghanistan, and others where there is trouble, turmoil, and a lacking of peace. And we remember as well and pray for our own country in the coming days, as we are going to vote in the referendum. May we honour one another and seek the common good. Give grace to us, our families and friends, and to all our neighbours, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Remember those in our church community, in our village, and others, perhaps known only to us, who are in need of the healing. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Hear us as we remember those who have died in the faith of Christ. According to your promises, grant us with them a share in your eternal kingdom. Rejoicing in the fellowship that we share with one another as members of your church here in Milton, we commend ourselves and the whole creation to your unfailing love. Amen.
Would you stand, please?